Lord, I just pray that whatever distractions we may be bringing in, that we would be able to give them up, to be open to hearing from you. Holy Spirit, will you be present in this room? Will you speak to us through your word this morning, that we will know you as a God of abundance, who cares for us and loves us and provides for us? In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you may know a few years ago, or quite more than a few years ago, Snickers started a new ad campaign about hunger. So I want to show you one of these ads.
Marsha, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
So Snickers, you know, started this campaign of you're not you when you're hungry. And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling hungry, Snickers might not be the first thing I reach for. But the principle remains, right? This is a fairly universal experience. When you get hungry, you're not fully you. You're hungry, and then, you know, the term we use is hangry, right? You're hungry and angry. Anyone experience being hangry before? Just a few? Okay. When I don't think I fully understood this until I became a father. And we have three kids, and they get hangry, right? And I remember the first time, those are our hangry children. I promise no children were hurt in the making of this slide, although he had to wait a few more seconds for his bottle. When we first discovered hangry in children, right, it was all of a sudden our children were not the same people we thought they were, right? They became monsters. And then we discovered, oh, if we just gave them a snack, they return back to being who they normally were, right? When kids get hungry, they act like that picture. Because when you're hungry, you're not you. And so it's actually really, I started thinking about this, it's really interesting to me how humans handle hunger at different stages of life, right? When babies are hungry, you saw, they cry, right? They scream. And when kids, when they're a little older, they get hungry, they get really bad moods and they misbehave. And adults, when we get hungry, we get kind of moody too, right? But it's different than when they're a baby. And what I realized was babies, they don't know when their next meal is coming, right? That's why they freak out. They don't know how to handle this feeling. They don't know there's another meal coming. They have no idea. But as adults, we act differently. We don't respond to hunger in scarcity, right? We know, I can look at the clock. Oh, there's another meal coming in a couple of hours. Or I can go get a snack. If I need a snack, right, for myself. And so adults, when it comes to hunger, can act in abundance, whereas children can act in scarcity. And honestly, when it comes to our walk with Jesus, one of the toughest lessons we can learn as followers of Jesus is to live in abundance as opposed to the world's mindset of scarcity. But honestly, this is what it means to grow in and mature in Christ. So, and it's actually in the passage we're going to look at in Mark 6, this is the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples, and he's going to use food to teach this lesson. So a little background to the passage we're going to look at in Mark chapter 6. Jesus says he has his disciples, he gathers them together, they've been following Jesus. He's been doing amazing miracles, healing people, casting out demons everywhere he goes. He gathers them together and he says, hey, you can do this too. And he says, pair up. And he sends them out two by two and he says, go into the nearby villages and heal and cast out demons. And so they go around without Jesus and they start healing people and casting out demons. It's amazing. It actually works, right? Jesus was right. They could do it too. So they come back, and they're really excited to share with Jesus about everything that that they did. And so that's where we're going to pick up our story in Mark chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 30. If you want to follow along, it'll be on the screen as well. So the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Okay, so picture this. They're really excited about everything that they just did, right? It's an incredible feeling. Like the way my kids feel when I come home from work and they did something really exciting that day. They just, I can't even put anything down before they have to tell me what happened. Or maybe you just have incredible news to tell someone. You just can't wait, right? Like a new baby's coming in the family, or you got a new job, or something really exciting. That's how they feel. They want to share with Jesus. It actually, we could actually do the same things you did. It was just like you said. But they are also exhausted. Verse 31 tells us they were hungry. They didn't even have time to eat. So when Jesus says to them, "Hey, let's take a retreat, a little mini vacation," you can imagine what that felt like for them. They were pretty excited to go on a nice retreat with Jesus. You all know what it's like to need a vacation, yes? you need to get away. You're excited to just create mental space that's been taken up by work and other things. That's how the disciples felt. So when we pick up in verse 32, they're ready to go on their mini vacation, their retreat with Jesus. So verse 32, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Okay, so imagine you're about to head on your very much needed vacation. And you really need to fill your tank, right? You really need to replenish your energy, and work calls, and they need you right away. Or someone from your family calls, and it's a problem only you can solve. And you now have to cancel your vacation. There's not enough time, there's not enough energy, and you'd have to run on empty again. This is how the disciples are now feeling, right? Talk about a roller coaster. This is how they're feeling. But they're just, you know, but Jesus has a totally different reaction. You notice how Jesus reacts to this crowd? He's moved by compassion, Mark tells us, for the crowd. He's moved by love for them and seeing that they're actually without. They're without a shepherd. They're without a leader. They're without someone to take care of them. They have scarcity. Everyone in the crowd has scarcity. And God, Jesus, has enough to give them, to give them leadership and care and spiritual food. So let's see how the disciples respond to this, starting in verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day. Jesus had taught them, right? So it's late in the day. So his disciples came to him, and they said, "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He answered, "You give them something to eat." Okay, so the disciples are a little testy now, right? They're really hungry. Remember, they still haven't eaten anything. And everyone is getting hungry now. And there's no food anywhere around. It's a remote place. So the disciples have a brilliant idea, right? Okay, Jesus, let's send them away. They can get food. We can find some food. And then we can do that retreat. Remember that retreat thing we're going to do, Jesus? We'll have some alone time with you. Let's get rid of this crowd. Isn't that a great idea, Jesus? And how does Jesus respond? He's not interested in that idea. He doesn't want to send the crowds away. He's the shepherd they need. But worse, not only does he refuse to send the crowds away, but he does something worse. He turns to the disciples and he asks them to do something impossible. You feed them, he says. I want you to find them something to eat. Has someone ever asked you to do something impossible? Has God ever asked you to do an impossible thing? What does that feel like? Doesn't your mind go to the impossible cost, how much time, how much energy, how much money it might take to do the thing that God's asking you to do? Or maybe all the problems you'd have to overcome to do what God's asking you to do? And yet, Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." So let's pick it back up in verse 37. They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" He asked, Jesus asked the disciples. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How often do we respond to God asking us to do something with a complaint about how much it will cost us? And how often does that cost keep us from participating in what God's asking us to do? And it's sad to me that my scarcity mentality keeps me from being a part of what Jesus is asking of me. Jesus, in his abundance, though, he's not going to let that happen. So what does Jesus do? He asks the disciples. They came up with all their excuses. That's too much money. Like, there's no food around. How are we going to do that? And he asks his disciples. He says, "Well, what do you have?" Right? "Just come, bring to me what you have." And the disciples are probably thinking, "What good is this?" Maybe even one of the disciples is giving up their personal lunch that they brought with them. In Matthew's version of this story, it's actually a little boy, right? Probably familiar with that. You may be familiar with that. It's a little boy who gives up his lunch, right? The food that his, you know, the old Sunday school pictures of like the boy, his mom packed in this lunch and he gives it up, right? The disciples, you know, commandeer that lunch for Jesus. So what was that little boy thinking? What were these disciples thinking? Are they thinking, What? How is 5 loaves and 2 fish going to do anything for this crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children? And now, not only do I lose, but everyone loses because there's really not enough to feed everyone here. How often do we feel like when Jesus asks us for what we do have, we aren't willing to give it up? Maybe we're not willing to give it up because we feel like it's ours. I earned this. I worked hard to do this. I prepared. I brought a lunch. How come all these people didn't pack a lunch, right? I prepared. Or maybe we feel like, oh, it's not enough, so it won't matter. Oh, Jesus, this isn't enough to do anything, so I'll just hold on to this. What plans do we need to give up to experience Jesus's plan for us? And yet, Jesus insists, "What do you have? Bring it to me." He wants the disciples to partner with him, to participate with him in what he's about to do. He could have just made bread appear, right? In the Old Testament, God made bread rain from the sky. Jesus could have done that, but he wants the disciples to be a part of what he's about to do. He's inviting them in. So we pick it back up in verse 39. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So 5 loaves and 2 fish. Apparently, that's all Jesus really needed. It didn't seem like enough, but it was all he needed. He could have used more. He could have used less. It didn't actually matter. What mattered was he was calling the disciples to be a part of what he was doing. So imagine how the crowds might have even been feeling in this moment. Like, wait, Jesus is gonna start. We're gonna have food. We're being told to sit down in groups and we're gonna eat. So maybe they were excited and actually anticipating a miracle. Maybe they were really confused. Like, what is Jesus? What are we doing? And then imagine how the disciples reacted, right? Like, really, Jesus? We just gave you five loaves of bread and two fish, and you're having us have them sit down for a meal? That is not going to work, Jesus. You're going to have a riot on your hands. But the reality is it was, right? It was enough. Everyone ate, and there was enough left over for each disciple. Think about this. Each disciple had a basket full of leftovers. So the thing I love about this story is that there's scarcity all around, right? There's not enough food for the people. There's not enough money to buy the food if we wanted to buy the food for the people. And there's no food around even if we wanted it. And there's not enough time, right? It's late in the day. We don't even have time to feed all these people, Jesus. And there's not enough rest. The disciples are exhausted. They don't want any part of this. But the story doesn't end in scarcity. It ends in abundance. And where does this abundance come from? It comes straight from Jesus. First, he gathers his disciples and calls them together into partnership with him. He gathers their resources, their very little amount of resources. Then he blesses the resources and he blesses his partners. Then he breaks the bread and the fish. And finally, he sends it out to those in need. Gather, bless, break, send. This is what he did here. This is what God does regularly in the Bible, and it's what Jesus does with us. This process of gather, bless, break, send, we're going to actually explore in a series. And we're going to go in depth into each part of that. But today, as we begin this series, we're actually, we want to focus on Jesus, who is the one who is the provider of abundance that allows us to do this. So we're not exactly sure the details of how this occurred, this feeding, right? Some think maybe the bread and fish were never emptied from the baskets. Jesus would break it and he put it in their 12 baskets and someone would go and take a piece out and then they'd look down and there's still lots of bread in there. Some people think, and I like this one, that as the people sat in their groups of 50s and 100s that Jesus, right, is standing at the, you know, maybe in the field, and he's breaking the bread and the fish, and he's putting it in baskets for the disciples to hand out. And the disciples run around, and they give a basket to someone, right? And the group takes all their food, and then they're like, I'm empty. And Jesus says, come on back. And they run back to Jesus, and Jesus still has those five loaves and two fish, and he breaks off more, and he fills their basket, right? And then they run, and they need food over there, and they go, and they're just back and forth. They're bringing food to the people, and they're running back to Jesus, and he keeps making more and more and more food, and they keep going to give it to more and more people. And you can imagine the miracle actually grows, right? It gets more and more amazing every time they come back to Jesus for more bread and more fish, to feed more people, and everyone is starting to realize what is happening here. Jesus is doing something amazing. And then think about this. At the end, it fed everyone, and at the end, there's 12 baskets, one for every disciple. Remember back to verse 31 when they said they had been so busy they didn't even have time to eat, and they were so excited to go on their retreat, and they got distracted, and they got, you know, they had to cancel their vacation. Well, Jesus, and they gave up their lunch, and yet Jesus gave them each a basket full of food left over for them to eat. Jesus provided for them even after they served the crowd. And this is like, let's not minimize this miracle. This says there were 5,000 men, and that doesn't include the women or the children there. They fed a lot of people, and there was still food left over. But they had to keep coming back to Jesus, right, for the abundance. Even if it didn't play out the way I just described, right, even if they had to keep looking in their basket and it was just empty, it wasn't empty, I mean, it just kept being filled. They had to, can you imagine, they kept looking back at Jesus, like, how come there's still bread in here? How is this happening, right? They still had to rely on Jesus' blessing of the bread for it to keep coming and keep coming. And the same is true for us. When we're spiritually hungry, when there doesn't feel like there's enough to give anything away, we have to go back to Jesus over and over and over again. And Jesus is clear about this. In John chapter 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the reality is, if we as a church community or as individuals want to change the world, if we want to change our community, if we want to change our families, heck, if we just want to change ourselves, we need to come to Jesus for the abundance and the resources that we need, that we're hangry for. If we aren't coming back to Jesus over and over again for him to meet our needs and supply us with his abundance, then we're left with nothing but scarcity, wondering, how can this be done? There just isn't enough, Jesus. So where does that leave us? So some of us here this morning, we want to impact those around us, but our baskets are empty. We constantly give ourselves to others. We're bad at resting. In other words, maybe we actually rarely spend time with Jesus. We struggle to keep coming back to Jesus. We're left feeling empty and poured out. We gave away our basket already, and now we're standing there in the midst of the crowd, sad and confused, feeling like we have nothing left to give. If that's you this morning, the challenge of this story is to create a rhythm of coming back to Jesus. Jesus regularly wants to fill you up. We need to let him, by regularly coming to him, let him fill us up, letting him provide us with abundance so we can pour it out. Again, Jesus broke the bread and the fish and gave it to the disciples so they could give it away. It wasn't for them at first. It was for others at first. We need to come to Jesus for that abundance so we can pour it out to those around us and then keep coming back to him over and over again. If that's you, my challenge to you is find regular time with Jesus. Spend time in the scriptures. Spend time in prayer. Find time during your busy day, and we are all busy, to touch base with Jesus. For some others of us this morning, we're really good at coming to Jesus regularly. But we actually stand there clutching our baskets. All the food is for us. Or we're scared that if we give it away, the basket will stay empty. We hoard our faith. We keep for ourselves what God has done in us and given us. Our baskets can be full of time and talent and treasure and learning and experiences and gifts, but we keep them to ourselves and for ourselves. We need to start giving it away, caring for those around us. Jesus didn't give you or us the food just for our own consumption, but for us to serve others. Do we trust that there will be a basket full of food left for us when everyone else is fed? That's the question. And if this is you, you need to find a place to serve. You're already in a rhythm of coming to Jesus regularly, and he's maybe piling stuff up on your basket. You don't need more. You need to maintain that rhythm so as you give it away, he can keep filling it up. You need to find a place to serve and to share that abundance that you find in Jesus. Find ways to serve here at Christ Church, where we have a new vision as a church that we launched at our annual meeting, and there's tons of ways that you can help us live into that new vision and living it out. Or maybe there's another ministry you want to serve in or take part in. And then there are some of us here this morning who have no idea what I'm talking about. This is really weird for you, and it's very strange. And maybe you're like the average person sitting in the crowd in the story. You are still wondering, who is this Jesus? And what is he doing? And what is happening here? And what does this all mean? And my question for you is, what is keeping you from receiving from Jesus? Is it that you don't know enough about him, or it sounds really hard to follow him, or maybe you've been burned by people who said they were acting in Jesus' name, but they really weren't showing you Jesus? My invitation for you is to keep sitting at his feet, to receive from him this bread, and from us. Hopefully, we're showing you the actual Jesus as we serve you the bread that Jesus puts in our baskets. And maybe the invitation for you is to join in Jesus' mission and accept the invitation of being a part of what Jesus is doing. So we're going to enter into a time of communion in a little bit, where we are literally going to eat bread in celebration of who Jesus is and what he has done. This is a great example of touching base with Jesus, connecting with him in his abundance as we celebrate what he gave, his life, which God has in abundance to give and calls us to do the same. So as we prepare for that, let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you are a God of abundance, that there is never a limit to what you have for us, to your love or what you give us. Help us to view our world and our lives in a view of abundance and not in the world's scarcity, where the message we receive is that there's never enough. May we always know that there's enough in you. Help us to keep coming back to you over and over and over again so that you can fill us up, so that we can pour out the love and the gifts that you've given us on those around us. May we know you as the great provider. In Jesus' name.
On the night that Jesus invited his disciples to share